Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning.
We'll now call to order. I am Lynn Herring, and I'd like to welcome you all to the Board of Directors meeting for the Altus Schools of San Diego Nonprofit Board, which operates Altus Schools Odeo and Altus Schools Charter School of San Diego. I'm Lynn Herring, Chairman of the Board, and I will facilitate the meeting. We will take roll call first. When I call your name, please provide the group with a brief introduction. If there's anybody new, please. Is there anybody on the line that needs
Introduction?
introduction?
I'd like to introduce a couple of people, although I think you know them. First
Okay,
of all,
let me go through the roll call first, and then we can go through that.
all right.
Okay, myself here, Scott Barton.
Present.
Very good. David Crean, I understand, is excused.
He's on a plane.
Tim Morton.
Here.
Morning, Tim, and Eric Schweinfutter.
Present.
Outstanding. Thank you very much. Mary, is there anyone who needs to be introduced?
I just wanted to introduce Dean Rambo. We call her Dean Rambo from Altus University. She's very soon going to be taking over a program that she's designed, and I've talked to you about it many times, the working with the Commission on Teacher Credentialing in California. And we're in our last leg of approval for that. And so we thought it was appropriate that she would be titled, according to contract, Dean Rambo. So she's going to be giving a short presentation today that is awesome. And also Tiffany Andell is going to be joining us as a regular for the, she's the director for operations, and she'll be joining us regularly for our board meetings as well. You know her. And everyone else, I think you've met. Thank you. Are you
Admiral
frozen?
Frost.
Are we frozen? Is something happening?
Like Len is frozen.
Yes.
Points, right?
Here he goes.
Yeah.
Got it? Do I
I'll
have a
let
motion 1.3?
you were frozen.
Okay.
Motion to approve quorum. Morton.
Very well. We have a second.
Thank you, Barton.
Thank you. I'm going to take a vote. Myself, I, Scott.
Aye.
David, absent. Tim.
Aye.
Eric.
Aye.
Very well. Motion passes. We have a quorum. And I will now ask everyone to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge
I pledge
allegiance
allegiance to the flag of
to
the United States of America
the
and to the
United
Republic for which it stands,
States
one
one
nation,
nation,
under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty
liberty
and
and
justice
justice
for
for
all.
all.
Okay, moving on to item 1.5. Is approval of the agenda. Item 1.5. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 1.5 with any recommendation from Mary?
Recommendation.
Okay. I have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve, Morton.
Very well. Is there a second?
Second, Barton.
Very well. Any conversation or discussion? Now take a roll call. Myself, I, Scott.
Aye.
David is excused. Tim?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Outstanding. Motion passes. Moving on to item 2.0 is public comment. Public comment for items of interest to the public within the scope of the Altus School of San Diego non-agenda there shall be no longer than 2 minutes. Public comment for agenda items shall be no longer than 3 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. In meetings held on Zoom, as this one is, any person who wishes to make a comment on either non-agenda or agenda items shall use the raise hand feature in the Zoom to notify the board. In accordance with the Brown Act, no discussion or action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to respond or give direction to staff. All public comment will be heard at this point in the agenda as ordered below. Each agenda item being commented on will have a maximum of 20 minutes allotted, and each non-agenda item will have a maximum of 10 minutes allotted. If necessary, I may equivocally decrease the time for each speaker in order to stay within that allotted time. Moving on to item 2.1 is non-agenda public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items not on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 2 minutes per speaker, and this is limited to 20 minutes, unless otherwise modified by myself. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments or on items not on the agenda?
Not that we're aware of.
Okay, let's make sure there's no hands. Okay, hearing none and seeing no raised hands, we'll move on to item 2.2, agenda of public comments. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that do appear on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to a total of 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by myself. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on the agenda items?
No.
Hearing none and seeing no raised hands, we will move on to closed session. We will now move to closed session to address the following three items. Conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to paragraph 2 and 3 of the subdivision and subsection 5495-56.9. Okay. If you would, Angela, please bring us into closed session. And the time is 8:41. Is everybody back? Let me see.
Take a roll call of that, Admiral.
Yeah, I'm just going to go through. All right. We'll take a roll call. I just want to 1222. That is 922. We are returning to open session. I'll take a roll call to make sure we have everybody here. Myself, I, Scott.
Present.
Okay, David is excused. Tim?
Here.
And Eric?
Present.
Very well. We're resuming open session, and I report that there was no action taken in conversation with our attorney. Okay, we'll now move on to set 5.0, consent agenda. All matters listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and will be approved or enacted by the board in one motion in the form listed below, unless specifically addressed or specifically requested by a board member for further discussion or removed from the agenda. There will be no discussion of these items prior to the board's vote on them. The superintendent, school services, and founder recommends approval of all consent agenda items. Items are 5.1, approval of board minutes from September 7th of 2023, November 1st, 2023, and November 13th, 2023. 5.1.2, consider approval of amendment by bylaws. 5.1.3, consider approval of amendment by conflict of interest codes. And 5.1.4, consider approval of amendment to administration of medication policies. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agendas, item 5.1.1 through 5.1.4?
So moved, Morton.
Very well. May I have a second?
Second, Morton.
Very good. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David is excused. Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on to item 6.0, administrative items. Consider approval of Juan Lupo as corporate secretary effective December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, 2023. Mary, do I have a report on item 6.1? You're muted.
I think it's clear what it means as we did our name change and we're updating our corp. Right. Approving as corporate secretary.
Just to remind everybody, we had gone through this before, and this is actually puts it into the minutes that we're going to change the title. Do I have a motion to approve item 6.1?
So moved, Barton.
And a second?
Second, Morton.
Any discussion? Further discussion? Okay, we'll conduct a roll call for vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David is excused. Tim?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Very good. Motion is approved. Item 6.2, consider approval of the ratification of lease renewals. Item 6.2.1 is APN 535-632-2001. APN 6.2.2 is APN 535-362-2004, and 6.2.3 is APN 427-480-1200. Lynn, may I have a report on items 6.2.1 and 6.2.3?
Yes, thank you, sir. The agenda item 6.2.1 for APN 535-362-2001. This is the lease for Petco Resource Center for the Charter School of San Diego. And the lease was originally acquired in 2000 and has been renewed, I should say, for an additional 6-year term beginning June 1, 2024 and ending May 2030. This is the second extension, but it is included in the Fourth Amendment to the original lease for the Downtown Resource Center. The size of the facility is 4,369 square feet. And prior to the renewal, the monthly base rent is $13,031 at 2.98 per month per square foot. And under the renewal contract, the monthly base rent is $13,413 at 3.07 per month per square foot. Landlord wants 4% during the negotiation annual increase, but we negotiated hardly and we refused to accept the 4%. But rather, we got the 3% annual increase every year for the 6 years lease term. The triple net every month for this site is $4,587. The monthly cost is $17,000, including the triple net, $999. Total contract obligation for 6 years is $1.371 million. The next agenda item is under 6.22. APN 535-362-2004 is for the Downtown Resource Centers for the CSSD. The lease was originally acquired in 2008 and has been renewed for an additional term beginning November 1, 2023 and ending October 31, 2028. This is the Fourth Amendment to the original lease. The size of the facility is 1,348 square feet. Under the renewal contract, the monthly base rent is $4,651 at $3.45 per month per square foot. The triple net is $1,481 per month. Total monthly lease cost is $6,132. The monthly base rent prior to the renewal was $4,558 at $3.38 per month per square foot. The initial increase would be for the first year is 2%. Then after that, it will be 3%. Total contract obligation for this lease is $385,000. The next agenda item is 6.2.3. And this is for the existing Kearney Mesa Resource Center for the Odega Charter School. The lease was originally acquired in 2000 and has been renewed for additional 3-year term beginning October 1st, 2023 and ending September 31st, 2026. This is the fifth amendment to the original lease. We did not renew this for an additional 5 years. It's because we have acquired another site, which is much bigger site, and the exposure also to the public is in the main road of Linda Vista. So with the tenant improvements being done, we anticipated that it will be completed for another 3 years. It takes time to do tenant improvement with the approval of the city for permitting. Educational permit is very hard to acquire. Total size for this current lease for Kearney Mesa is 1,530 square feet. And under the renewal contract, the monthly base rent is 3,618 at 2.36 per month per square foot. Triple net is 1,469. Total monthly lease cost is 5,086. The monthly base rent, even though we renewed, we did very good. It did not increase. So the renewal for the renewal rate did not increase. We were able to negotiate to remove the annual increase for the 12 months of the renewal lease. Thereafter, on the second year and third year, the annual increase is starting October 2024 will be 3%. Total contract obligation is 141,661. Thank you.
Very good. Looks like you did quite well. All come and stay together. Mary, do you have any? Oh, Mary's taken out. Do I have a motion to approve items 6.2.1 and 6 through 6.2.3?
So moved, Barton.
Very well. Any discussion?
I just want to add that it takes. Am I muted now? I just want to add that it takes some negotiation to keep the costs reasonable. As you know, commercial costs are not cheap here in San Diego. And I think we've developed quite an expertise in this department. I know Lynn hits it hard. And so I'm confident that we get the best price possible when we go out there and continue to lease.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked that she's still in the $2 and $3 range per square foot in some of the locations. So that's pretty incredible.
Well, all right. In fairness, Admiral, our landlords are very sympathetic and understanding of our mission. And so they give us, I think they give us a break too. They're still not easy. They're profit driven. So,
well, yeah, they have to be. And that's good that we are good tenants. Therefore, they're willing to work with us. Do I have a second motion?
Second, Schmartzberger.
Very well, thank you. And now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David's excused. Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on to 6.3, consider approval ratification of new lease. That is 6.3.1. It's APN 427082 8-14-00. Lynn, is there a report on this?
Thank you. This lease is for the expansion of the Kearney Mesa Resource Center, as I have expressed earlier, so that we can provide more space for the resource centers and visibility. This is located on the main road of Linda Vista Road. We excelled in the negotiations for this lease. The strip mall was acquired by new owners and really does not want to give in. It was a tough negotiation for this site. It took a long time. The terms are the landlord is to pay $100,000 for the walls because we have to build a wall so that it can pass educational permit. So landlord is paying $100,000 for the walls as part of the tenant improvements. He agreed to pay 50%. There's a free base rent for 9 months with a total value of $107,011. And the monthly rate is $3 per square foot. And the monthly base rent with that rate will be $11,971. In addition, we also acquire 4.5 months of the triple net or common area maintenance with a total value of $17,475. The monthly rate for the triple net is 96 cents, and that would be $3,833 per month. Annual percentage rent increase is 3%. The term of the lease is 8 years with an option to renew for another 5 years. I made sure that the cancellation provision is accepted by the landlord due to the longer term lease, and it's included in the lease agreement. It is longer is because the TI will cost us money, and what happens in accounting, we need to have a smaller amount of annual depreciation cost. And the same with the landlord, he agreed to put in the $100,000 free tenant improvements so that he can also depreciate that. The total savings for this new site for the Kearny Mesa resulted for $225,286. Thank you.
Wow. Well done. And this is in Linda Vista?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
You got a piece of property in Linda Vista for under $5 a square foot? That's wow. Nice. Is there enough room for expansion here?
This is an expansion of that site.
No, I mean, for future, is there enough room in here to feel for expansion? Because we're looking at 8 years.
Yeah, this is already over 3,000.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I thought I heard
you say 2,400.
No, okay. This is 3,993. In fact, almost 4,000 square feet.
Okay, my mistake. I thought I heard 2,000.
Considering the neighborhood, if we were expanding, we'd probably go to another facility.
Yeah. Okay, great. Do I have a motion to approve item 6.3.1?
So moved, Barton.
Good. Any discussion? May I have a second?
Second, Schweinfurter.
Thank you. I will now conduct a roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David, excused. Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Very well. The motion passes. Moving on to 6.4, Superintendent of School Services and Founder Report. 6.4.1 is the Aldous Approach to Research Component. Mary, is there a staff report on the 6.4.1?
Did you want to include 6.5, the strategic plan update?
We can do them all. Yeah.
Okay.
So item 6.4.2 is SDUSD charter revisions for name changes of corporation, name changes of schools. And then 6.5, strategic plan update, school productivity indicators, 6.5.1.1, Aldous School Odeo, 6.5.1.1, school participation report period of 2023-24. Months 2 through 4, 2023. 6.5.1.2, Aldous School Charter Schools of San Diego, 6.5.1.2.1, the school participation report for the period of 2023, months 2 through 4, 23. So, Mary and Tim, you can do what you need to do for those four items.
Okay, Tim, you want to take it?
Yeah, I can cover the school productivity indicators. For the months July 31st through October 20th, which covers for the first four learning periods of the year, really, the participation on enrollment for Odeo percentage-wise is 99%. So they're doing great work, highly engaged students there, which is an increase of 4.1% over last year. So 100% is as high as you can go. So Odeo is operating at 99% productivity with their students, current students, for the first 4 months. So really pleased with that. And CSSD is not too far behind. They're at 92.6%, which was an increase of 2.5% over last year. So both schools are doing very well with their participation, which is our attendance calculations. So good work on behalf of the staff.
Absolutely,
Excellent.
and thank you, Tim, for leading us on that. Okay, the first one, let's see, 6.4.1 is our approach to research. We have been working, we, and that is my huddle, our leadership team, has been working on our next 30 years. And what we're focusing on is called creating a sustainable and resilient organizational system for change through innovation. We strongly believe that no company, hospital, educational system should be moving forward without considering how they're going to deal with change in a way that is sustainable and resilient, but also through innovation. We define innovation in a kind of a continuum, going from a continuous improvement kind of innovation that helps move your processes to a radical innovation, and there's lots in between, but a radical innovation where you come up with something that is a real paradigm shift. We kind of hang in around the disruptive innovation, which is just before you get to radical. And that is where we really create, I believe, a stimulus in our sector for change. And we've done that repeatedly over and over again. Today, I was supposed to talk about research. There are 10 steps in this process. We're working on it. And actually, it's going out to a presentation in March or April at the Baldrige Conference. We're moving away from presenting our leadership management system, which we've done for many years, and people are still interested in it. But we believe we need to move forward. And so Tiffany and Dale, Wade Ashburner, and Tim Tudor will be presenting on this new topic. There are 10 steps: research, input, creating the team, relating to the customer, creating a discussion, developing the model, testing it, playing on the momentum, the integration of it, therefore, then into the organization, and then lastly, the evolution, which moves it forward. So today, we're just focusing on the research piece and where that has taken us. And I thought it'd be much better to just simply give you an example of some of the work we've done in that area. So I'd like to call on Dean Rambo and Director Yandell to present this, please.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mary. Let me share my presentation. So this presentation started with a research that Mary had asked for specifically about Google Workspace and learning more about it. And it has evolved into something a little bit bigger because as we are talking about Google Workspace, it's a bigger conversation about AI, about the role of AI with our workspace. Microsoft 365 also goes into some adjacent AI technologies with augmented reality and virtual reality. And I did want to share with you with where we are with some Altus implementation of this technology. So foundational knowledge, artificial intelligence, this is changing every day. Even today, there was a headline about Google releasing Gemini, which is supposed to be the most capable AI model. So we need to continue researching that to see what it is. But AI stems from machine learning, started in the 50s. It's nothing new. Teaching machines to find patterns and teaching learning to be humans in that sense. But now it's gone into deep learning and neural networks, and we've seen generative AI. We're at the one-year anniversary of ChatGPT landing on the market, and there's 3.5 and 4.0 and Bard and now Gemini. And so that really goes hand in hand with the research from Workspace and what we're seeing with Microsoft 365. So Google Workspace is Google's attempt to put everything, all of their apps into one umbrella, essentially. Previously, it was G Suite, same apps. They're going to look a little bit different as they are integrating apps together, but it gives businesses administrative oversight and control, and they are going to be integrating apps together. So from Gmail, you'll also be able to do chat and meet instead of opening three different apps to do three separate tasks. So the real magic happens when these workspaces are partnered with artificial intelligence. And so Google Workspace is partnering with Duet AI, and I'm assuming it will align to also Gemini as that gets developed further. We currently have Microsoft 365, and so that is our Word, our PowerPoint, our Excel, and we've had this remote hybrid work environment since even before the pandemic. We rolled this out prior to the pandemic hitting, and I did want to take a look in the research as what does Microsoft 365, who are they partnering with AI, and what are those side-by-side comparisons with Google Workspace and Microsoft 365. So Microsoft has Copilot, Google has Duet AI, and so just looking application by application where we are right now with these AI partnerships. So right now in documents, Google Duet AI can create drafts. Microsoft Copilot can also create drafts, but there's high-level editing that's possible. Copilot can also analyze and summarize ideas from documents that are uploaded. When we're looking at spreadsheets, right now Duet AI is focused on project tracking across the spreadsheets. Copilot can do a little bit more. It's analyzing trends, it's creating visualizations, and these are without the multiple clicks and knowing which toolbar to go into. They're really looking at prompt generation over formulas. So this really highlights the importance of having that prompt engineering technical experience.
Before you go on, if I could interrupt, can you talk about what that might look like, say, to the finance department?
Sure. So finance department, when they're doing their multiple VLOOKUPs and HLOOKUPs and conditional formatting, they can just prompt it with specific directions for tables and using actual sentences rather than remembering the formulas to do things.
Thank you.
When we're looking at emails, again, Duet AI, right now we're in the drafting stages of emails. When we're looking at Copilot, we are managing inboxes, we are translating, we're drafting. We're also finding insights from missed meetings. So think in your Outlook inbox, we can accept or decline meetings right now. In the future, we'll also be able to follow meetings. So if you miss a meeting, Teams will automatically record it for you, create summaries of the meeting. And if your name was mentioned for follow-up action items or questions, Microsoft will also be able to send that to you. And as far as online meetings right now, Duet AI, it can create a virtual background for you. Copilot, like I said previously, will be able to summarize meetings, create action items, and also weigh options that are presented in meetings. So if you're debating whether or not an idea can go forward, it will actually go into research all of those different pros and cons for it and provide that with you so you don't have to do that research. And lastly, with multimedia presentations, right now, Google Duet AI can create AI-generated images for your presentation. If you think about Copilot, it will be able to create presentations from files. So all of the work that I do researching, taking notes, I can upload that document into PowerPoint, and it'll create a specific designed pictures, charts, and bullet points for presentations. So this confirms that we're in the right direction with using our Microsoft as it looks ahead to partnering with Copilot. It's all in our secure network. We're already using those documents, so it's just doing the back-end work to making sure that we continue in that secure environment. Adjacent with AI and these technologies is our augmented reality. So it's creating a digital, using digital information in real-world environments. So if you think of this, if you've ever purchased sunglasses or glasses online and it takes your picture and then superimposes the glasses on the screen for you on your face, same thing. We just use that in the educational world. So using our McGraw-Hill app, you can have, as you see on the picture, a pyramid. We can count the tiles to look at surface area before learning about the algorithm for solving surface area. Can also do that with science, with a frog dissection where the frog is on the app and you're actually moving your hands to dissect it. Virtual reality is another technology we're using. This is a picture of our math virtual reality at our resource center. So very similar to augmented reality, except you're in a fully immersive environment and it's interactive. You're doing the hand motions and the environment around you is adjusting to your inputs. So how is it all connected? They share foundational technologies. So we talked about machine learning and having computers think like humans, but also computer vision, where it is using the images that humans perceive, videos, object recognition, gesture tracking, all of that, as well as natural language processing. So those interactions that you're having in the virtual reality world with text-based, speech-based interactions and people speaking in these simulated environments. So what we're seeing with the integration of AI, specifically with AR and VR, is we really get that personalized and adaptable user experience for students and have these real world applications and experiences within our resource center. So where are we with this implementation in Altus? So this is a strategic initiative this year where we're implementing generative AI for teaching and learning and also for workforce efficiency. So part of this through Altus University is preparing staff for these shifts with the mindset and workflow because of AI, and then bringing it to students in a very protected, safe environment. We're also implementing through our Altus Fellows program, virtual reality for career exploration and training. The work and learning that we did through that project, we're expanding it to virtual reality for math instruction, and we've been using augmented reality for math instruction for a couple years now. We're also researching virtual reality for arts and music education, and then researching the artificial intelligence enhanced social robots to support teaching practices. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Mary, for providing the framework for the research within the organization. And board members, thank you for your time and support in this research that we're doing as we continue to innovate our instructional program.
Thank you so much, Dean Rambo. Tiffany, did you want to add anything in terms of cybersecurity and our licensing?
I just think we've been paralleling these projects, Catherine and her teams. We work closely when it comes to technology items like this, her research from the educational side and impact on student learning and all of what they're researching. Parallels what we're researching on the side of business efficiencies, ensuring that our infrastructure is staying secure, that it's scalable, that we're able to still improve our technologies to better support the teaching and learning, but also business services. And so there are things we've been doing the last 2 years to improve our network infrastructure. And we've been piloting making sure that everybody has the correct access to information and whatnot. And the final step will be to upgrade all licenses within the organization so we can roll it out. That will be partnered with a training plan because we want to ensure that the teachers are working with the students to use items like Copilot. They wouldn't be using Copilot, but ChatGPT to ensure that they're maintaining their integrity with their work. We'll make sure that we're training our staff to make sure that they're using it efficiently and effectively, that they're using it securely, and they know how to change their job, because this will change how people do their work, how you use Excel, how you create presentations, because we want to ensure that we're still valuing the individual and creativity and innovation. We're not just generating things from the internet, and that will definitely be seen, especially at Altus. We'll notice if something is just being copied and pasted. So we'll be handling trainings as well. So I think that's about it. But Catherine and her team is doing a great job, not just from the research, pilot, and implementation side, also the whole support of the training. The training has been fantastic as well.
Excellent. Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from the board?
I have a question. Are you finding students are using AI to turn in assignments and work? And is there...
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely, they are. And so what we're doing, we are changing, we're essentially flipping the script. So you can't really plagiarize from AI because it's not a human, but we do know when it is AI generated. So instead of thinking of it as a bad thing, it's more of a questioning of Why did you turn to this technology? How did you use it? Okay, well, let's use it better together and use it more as a thought partner rather than just an answer generator, because it is a great thought partner and students are going to need to know how do they prompt engineer to get exactly what they want. They're going to need that for future careers. So we're taking a step in that direction rather than having punitive consequences, if you will. It's right, more of a learning experience.
I spoke to a UCSD professor who's using it to teach his students, and how are you using AI in how the students are learning? So that's great. Thank you.
At the same time, Dean, I'd like to hear more, maybe at a later point, or Mary, in one of these training sessions that we have. I'd really like to understand how we are making sure that a student, especially at the lower levels, understands the basics and does not, because I'd like to just understand how the AI is being used to provide that type of education enhancements. But what I'm experiencing in some cases, like when I taught an AI, a student would provide me an AI generated event, knowing that that student had no clue what they had actually handed me. So how are we watching to make sure that a student understands the basics and is not relying on the computer to actually generate the answer or the system that we're looking to teach?
Absolutely.
Let me preface the response. Remember, we're one-on-one.
Yeah.
Pretty much with our students. So our teachers are very much on top of what knowledge they have and what they actually produce in terms of their work. But can you share a little bit, Catherine, on how we do that, the logistics of it?
So it is that one-on-one relationship that teachers have with students. And we do NWEA initial, testing. So we know reading level, we know language usage level, we have writing samples for students. And so through that, they're able to understand what is turned in. Hey, this isn't the voice of the student. This is written at a different complexity. We did a staff training where we looked at something that was staff generated and something AI generated. And we talked about how do you spot the differences in language, and had a really great discussion around that so that teachers can spot it. There are, funny enough, AI tools to spot AI, but we know that those also aren't 100% effective. So we are continuing to work with our staff through our training this year through Altus University for that specifically.
Okay, I'd just like to see how you're making that happen, because one of the things that I'm hearing is that kids who are growing up in this environment are learning to manipulate the AI so that the basics that are necessary for, if you will, human interaction is limited by the understanding of that individual in the basics of the physics or the math or whatever else. If they don't know the basics, then they don't know how to interact with that. They're trusting that the AI is doing what needs to be done, and virtually technology and advancement stop. AI does what it knows and nothing more. And if we don't teach the basics, understandings, differential equations and physics and math and all the rest of that thing, and the student doesn't understand where that equation comes from, then the probability for advancement as we get older is limited to what AI provides to them, not to what their brain generates, which makes it, that's why we're different.
Right. I could definitely prepare another presentation, but just to kind of go along with that, it's transforming our teaching and learning so that it's not a transactional change, right? We're not just asking ChatGPT to help us do the same things. We're changing how we actually teach. So project-based learning, these virtual reality simulations, these are all things that AI, in the sense of ChatGPT, they can't answer for students. So it's involving more of that within
Great.
Teaching, but happy to expand on
Great.
That.
I love some of the things that I've seen on AI. I love the fact that you can you can actually experience a three-dimensional event with the AI virtual in places where you would never expect to bring somebody or do something. I watched on one particular program where medical students are learning to do surgery in the virtual environment, and there is no corpse anymore. It's just literally you are working that issue through AI. I think that's brilliant because people will experience it in a totally different fashion. So I love the idea that AI is being incorporated. I just want to make sure that I just want to understand where that AI is developing the basics so that the human interaction is based upon the theory and not the computer.
All right. We began our work or we took off with this 2 years ago. And at that time, there was, of course, a panic. And we responded differently to the panic of integrating AI and virtual reality and the whole thing into education. We really wanted to see it as a tool in the classroom. So as Catherine has pointed out, so much of this resides with the training that we provide the teachers, so that in fact the teachers are in control of it and are managing the teaching and the learning. So that's absolutely critical. And I'm very pleased with the progress that we've made in a very short time. And I can see that even over this next year, we'll be moving forward at a tremendous rate in terms of integrating this in the classroom, but also, as Tiffany talked about, across the administrative part of our work.
Yeah, great. And I just, not to belabor that, but I will give you an example. In the Navy, we have been using virtual training events, whether it be ship driving or aviation or what have you. And for a guy who, you know, got a few of those individuals who did extremely well in their virtual ship driving, when it actually came to having to drive a real ship, they did not have the basic skills that were necessary. So it's kind of, yes, you've got it, but that virtual environment doesn't provide you, all the ins and outs of real world reality. As a matter of fact, one of the Special Forces guys said, there are tens of thousands of paratroopers in the virtual environment. Three out of every 10 who get ready to jump out of an aircraft for the first time have been pushed out.
Oh, okay. All right. So we'll continue our work in that area. In regard to 6.4.2, this is a simple one. We have just about completed our complete changeover in terms of our name change of our corporations. Certainly that's been approved by all the powers that be in California. We've worked with our banks to change over all our accounts. Lynn, is there anything you want to add to that in terms of how far we've gone?
For the Alta Schools of San Diego Corporation, which is approved by the authorizer San Diego Unified School District, they also approved the name change for the school, which is now the Charter School of San Diego, is now called Alta Schools Charter School of San Diego. And the Odeo Charter School is now named Alta Schools Odeo. So the authorizer, San Diego Unified, approved that. And so we are their person. They have a coordinator that will input it and send the information to California Department of Education. The CDS number, the school charter number will not change. Thank you.
Okay.
I believe that's the end of the president's report. I do have something else, but I can save that for the end when we do our sharing.
Okay, great. And moving on, item 7.0, or action items for the Alta School of Odeo. Consider approval of the first interim report, 2023-24. Lynn, is there a staff report for 7.1.1?
Yes, thank you, sir. First of all, I'd like to start by stating that charter schools are mandated to file two financial interim reports during the fiscal year regarding the financial health of the LEA or the school. The first interim reports cover the period of July 1st to October 31st, and the school is required to submit these reports to the county superintendent of schools and the local authorizer no later than December 15th of every fiscal year, according to the California Education Code. The second interim reports covers the period of July 1st to January 31st, and the deadline to submit is no later than March 15. For Odeo Charter School, the interim reports can be found on pages 53 to 56 of the board packet. Alta Schools Odeo first interim report for the ending fund balance as of October 31st of this year is $5.58 million. Which means that the school is in good financial health and is able to meet its financial obligations. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, do I have a motion to approve item 7.1.1?
Motion to approve, Schweinfurter.
Any discussion? May I have a second?
Second, Morton.
You will. We now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David is excused. Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Very well. Motion passes. Item 7.1.2, review of revised preliminary operational budget assumptions 2023-24. Consider approval of revised preliminary operational budget 23-24. Luna, is there a staff report for 7.1.2?
Yes, thank you. I want to preface first how, so that the board will understand how the budget is being developed. The budget assumptions for the schools, which is included in the board packet, explain the basis of the development of the budget. It is very comprehensive, and it provides information on how non-classroom-based charter schools or independent study programs such as all our schools are funded and how average daily attendance is earned. The funding rate per grade level is included, the revenue projections table, description of the special funding or one-time funding, the number of the full-time equivalent positions that are budgeted, the employee health benefits is also listed, the retirement contributions, the professional and consulting services, marketing, authorizers, oversight fees, the reserves, facilities, and research and development is also indicated. Reserves are budgeted based on the authorizer's requirement for the school board policy or the school board's policy on reserves. The schools allocated funds for research and development. For when we develop the budget to support works directed towards innovation, introduction, and improvement necessary for the support of the school consistent with the Alta School San Diego Corporation's mission and purpose. On pages 57 to 67 of the board packet is the Alta School's Odeo Preliminary Revised Operational Budget. This budget is based upon an estimated P2ADA of 530.55, with a total projected revenue of 8.692 million. The revenue is comprised of 94.29% for LCFF and other state revenues apportionment. Budget is for federal revenues, it represents 4.71% of the total revenue, and 1% for the local revenue. The revenues include budget for one-time special funding as indicated in the budget assumptions. The total amount for Odeo Charter School one-time special funding for this year is $230,625. I'd like to inform the board last year during the same time, the one-time special funding for the school is $1.239 million. And which shows that the amount significantly reduced from the last year's appropriations. The special one-time funding for all LEAs in California diminished tremendously. And for or the out-of-schools ODEO, it is almost $1 million from last fiscal year's appropriations. Projected expenditures in this budget is a total of $8.35 million, which is comprised of the total payroll and benefits that amounts to $5.23 million. Payroll and benefits represent 61% of the total revenue. Books and supplies is budgeted at 5.46% of the total revenue. Rentals, leases, and repairs at 4%. Other services and operating expenses is at 21%. And the reserve is at 4%. The reserve of 4% is in the amount of $347,718, which has been allocated for operational reserve and reserve for economic uncertainties. Thank you.
Okay. Mary, do you have any comments?
Recommend approval.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve item 7.1.2?
Motion to approve, Schweinfurter.
Any discussion? You have a second?
Motion to approve, Morton.
We will now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David is excused. Tim? Tim?
He might be frozen.
Aye.
This is okay, Tim. Thank you. Eric?
Aye.
Great. Motion passes. Item 7.2.1, consider approval of the first interim report 2023-24. Lynn?
Yes, thank you. For the Alta Schools Charter School of San Diego's first interim report, the ending fund balance as of October 31st, 2023 is $36.286 million, which means that the school is also in good financial health and would be able to meet its financial obligations. Thank you.
Okay. Mary, any comments?
No. Recommend approval.
Very well. Do I have a motion to approve 7.2.1?
So moved, Morton.
Any discussion? We will. Second motion, please.
Second, Barton.
Thank you. We now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
David is excused. Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on to 7.2.2. Review the revised preliminary operating budget assumptions 23-24 and consider approval of revised preliminary operating budget 23-24. Lynn, is there a report, please?
Yes, thank you. The Alta Schools Charter Schools preliminary revised operational budget is found on pages 72 to 81 of the board packet, which is based upon an estimated P280A of 1,631.16, with a total projected revenue of $26.975 million. The total revenue is comprised of 93.44% of the LCFF and other state revenues, 5.23% for the federal revenues, and 1.33% for the local revenues. The revenues include budget for one-time special funding, also listed in the budget assumption, and the total amount is $543,345. This amount is likewise similar to ODEO, significantly reduced from last year's fiscal year's appropriation, which is $4 million is last year's fiscal is last year's appropriations. This special one-time funding is diminished by $3.87 million from the last fiscal year. The one-time special funding for the state is drying up. I just want that comment. Since the pandemic, we've received the school, all LEAs received various one-time special funding But with the governor's budget, it's drying up. And pretty soon it will all be gone. Projected expenditures for the outer schools of outer schools Charter School of San Diego is $26.166 million, which is comprised of total payroll and benefits amounting to $17.318 million. Our payroll and benefits represent 64% of the total revenue. Books and supplies is budgeted at 2.88%, rentals, leases, and repairs at 8.51%, and other services and expenses is at 15%, and the reserve is 3%. The reserve constitutes an amount of $809,254, which is allocated for the operational reserve and the reserve for economic uncertainties. Thank you.
As you can tell, Lynn is being very emphatic about the fact that you're going to see in future financial reports a real reduction. And that's not due to our productivity or anything else. That's an environmental situation. And I've shared with all of the staff that because of what we anticipate is coming down in the future, this morning, I think I read it was $58 billion at this point that California is down in terms of its revenues. We don't anticipate that education would be the first one to be cut, but we know that $58 million requires some real budget cutting. So we're trying to be very cautious as we go forward in terms of making any long-term commitments.
Mm-hmm. And moreover, Mary, even if there's a special funding for all LEAs by regulations, non-classroom base is excluded from those funding.
Very good point. It's disappointing, but we often find that those new revenues that do come down do not include charter school, non-classroom based schools.
Wow. Okay.
And that amounts to millions, incidentally. But
oh, I'm sure.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Lynn. And Benita and your whole team.
Great. Interesting. Okay, do I have a motion to approve item 7.2.2?
Motion to approve, Schweinfurter.
Any discussion? May I have a second?
Second, Barton.
Okay, we will now conduct a roll call for a vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David is excused. Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on. To 8.0, board announcements and comments. From time to time, the board has topics of interest that they would like to share with the community. These are informal in nature and do not require any action. Is there anything that the board would like to share? Or Mary, you said you had something you wanted to comment on.
I did. I would like to share the community outreach. The community outreach is ongoing, but there have been some special things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. For the, I think it's the 13th year, the Alta schools have been in partnership with iHeartRadio Magic. That's correct, isn't it, Lynn? iHeartRadio? Yeah. 92.5. And specifically, Jagger and Christie, that program works very closely with us. They know our teachers. Our teachers go down there, and we do a lot of taping for, you know, advertisement. And we found that it's very productive to use teachers. So they're very engaging and certainly very informed, and we trust them. So we send our people out there to do some taping. I annually do the kickoff for Christmas Wish as an interview, kind of a format. And so we kicked it off. If you're not familiar with Christmas Wish, and incidentally, we're repeatedly through the day announced as partners and sponsors of Christmas Wish. So I was very careful in our interview to point out we're a public school and we don't provide monies, but we do provide a support in getting the word out there in terms of Christmas Wish. They do some wonderful, wonderful things. People are invited to nominate some situations, family situations where there's real need, and they'll provide gift cards, they'll provide washing machines, they'll provide gifts for the children. I think the day before yesterday, there was a lady who had been an amputee, was having a hard time getting up to the second floor, and they did a deal with one of the hospital equipment provider people that did a like an elevator to take her up and down. They do some extraordinary things with the cooperation and support of the community at large. So we are very, very proud to be a part of that. But it, once again, I always clarify, that does not mean money. That means our efforts in communicating and getting the word out there. Secondly, December 9th was on Friday and Saturday of this last weekend. It was a tremendous event, tremendous. And we had a booth there right in front of the Aerospace Museum, right where the younger children are. And we had some staff who were wonderful and donated their time to be there. And they just came back with feedback about how wonderful it was to run into some of their alumni, their former students, with some amazing, amazing stories. And so it was a tremendous success. We gave out lightsabers and little necklaces and caps and things. So it was a wonderful way of getting out to the community and connecting and making Altus Schools known. And lastly, this Friday, again, Nice Guys are having their event in Balboa Park, which they've tried to do annually, and they have for most years. They expect about 3,000 people to come to their event, where they provide food and gift cards. And there's probably 700 families that they'll be gifting to, and 30 of those families are ours. So we're certainly going to be there and be supportive of them. That's all. Thank you.
Great. That's more than enough. I do want to, anybody else from the board? Okay. I do want to take, go ahead.
I just make a quick comment. I just, you know, all the good work you're doing. And I know there's a lot of tremendous work Lynn and your staff have done on the financials and budget. So great job.
Agreed. Okay. I just want to take the moment to, as Tim just did, to say thank you very much for all your hard work. You know, reading through this stuff sometimes is quite arduous, but the detail is phenomenal. There's very, very few times in which you go through the numbers and they don't somehow make sense, because they've done such a great job of putting all that stuff together. So I really do appreciate it. And then I know I speak for the rest of the board, and it's that time of year. And I want to wish, I hope everybody had an amazing Thanksgiving, but I want to wish everyone a very joyous and happy holiday season, Christmas, Hanukkah, you know, whatever. But I do hope that everyone has a great time with family, friends, and enjoys the holiday, and you know, look at it for what it is. All right, you know, just Merry Christmas, everybody. It really is a great time of year. If there's nothing more, I will now move to item 9.0, and that is the adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved, Barton.
Thank you. Okay, that was a quick second. We will now conduct a roll call. Eric?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
David gets excused. Scott?
Aye.
And myself? Aye. Okay, everybody, that motion is unanimously passed. And I want to, again, wish everybody a very happy holidays.
Thank you to everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Bye.